The book of John. So rise for the reading of God's word, John chapter 1. We are starting a new book. We finished Ephesians. We've been in the life of Abraham for 6 weeks. The life of Abraham is all about the beginning of the Jesus story, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The New Testament, the book of John, is the story of Abraham revealed. And so that's what we're going to be in this morning. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's pray. Father, we are here to meet you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we are here so that we can receive from your fullness. It says of you, Lord Jesus, of your fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Verse 16. That's why we're here. We're here, Lord, because we need you. We're here, Lord, because we understand that living life apart from you is a futile, empty, fruitless effort, and that we need you. I pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Stir up that sense of need within us, Lord. And also the realization that you meet the need. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. So the New Testament can be divided roughly into four sections. The first section, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is about the life and the teachings of Jesus. The second section, the book of Acts, is about the life of the early church. The third section, that's Romans through Jude, is about what it means to be a Christian and how to be a Christian. Also what it means to be a church and how to be a church. And then the fourth and last section is the book of Revelation. It's the prophecy about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the book of John, again, usually lumped together with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John is about the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. However, anyone reading those four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will notice immediately that it is a very different book, the book of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written relatively soon after Jesus' death. And the impression that you get when you read them is the authors, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they wanted to get the news out about Jesus, what he did and what he taught. The book of John was written 30 or 40 years after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's about 90 years old at the time he writes this. And it quite clearly has a very different purpose. It is different in at least three ways. Although it, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he does lay out some of Jesus' life and teachings, there's three ways it's different. Number one, John is sharing with us not only the facts about Jesus' life and teaching, but in John there's just this urgent call, this urgent appeal to believe the facts of the life and teachings of Jesus. Most importantly, that he's God. The word believe used 60 times in the book of John. 60 times. In the book of Mark, the word believe is used 13 times. In the book of Matthew and Luke, each of them less than 10 times. 60 times the word believe in the book of John. The book is a final and urgent appeal by the last living apostle to believe and receive the Son of God, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Number two, John is also an urgent appeal against religion. It's almost as if John is crying out from beginning to end, don't make the life and teaching of Jesus into a religion. Don't do that to those three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus called you into a living, breathing, abundant relationship with him. He didn't call you into a dead man-made religion. Stop that. Third, and this is connected to number two, John is an urgent appeal to understand that without love, you're totally missing the point of the life and teachings of Jesus. You can know every single eeny-weeny fact about Jesus' life. You can memorize every word of that teaching, but if you are not loving each other, you don't get it. That's what this book's about. Number one, believe now, because there is a judgment to come. Number two, you've been called into relationship. And number three, you've been called to love. The natural man resists all three of those things. And so you see a lot about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit in the book as well. But again, let's begin. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Louder?
Jesus.
How do you know? How do you know? What verse?
14.
Verse 14 says what? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the book of Matthew, remember we started in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. You guys have seen this verse. We've put it up every week for weeks. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So at the beginning of Matthew, there's a genealogy that it starts with Abraham, goes all the way to Jesus with his birth in Bethlehem. But at the beginning of John, it says that Jesus existed before Abraham, before creation itself. In fact, Jesus has always existed. He is God. And later on in the book of John, Jesus will say this later on. He says in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. In Exodus chapter 2, when Moses asked God what his name was, or when they asked me what your name is, God, what name do I say? What did he say? He said, my name is I am. So we've been studying the life of Abraham for the last 6 weeks. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. What a contrast from Matthew chapter 1, which begins with the genealogy of Abraham. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. Verse 2 continues. He, speaking of Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The word comprehend there is translated in different versions of the Bible in different ways. The NIV, some of you have that, translates it overpower. But if you look at the root word in the Greek, it's the word lambano. It means to seize. If you look at when this word, the root word, is used throughout the New Testament, you know, like a soldier would seize someone, that type of thing. They would lay hold of, take for yourself. So the Amplified Bible translates it this way. This is the Amplified Bible, John 1:5. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it, meaning taking it, or observe it, and is unreceptive to it. So the idea is that the light shines in the darkness. Jesus came into the world. He was the light of the world. He was the life of the world. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not take the light for itself. It did not embrace it. It didn't seize it. And draw it into its bosom. The world did not, as a general rule, do that when Jesus came. The world rejected Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, came into the world, but the world rejected him. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is referring to John the Baptist. Before anyone knew about Jesus or who he was, John the Baptist declared for all to hear that Jesus, the Messiah, was about to come on the scene. John became so well known that in Matthew chapter 3, it says, all of Jerusalem, all of Judea, which is like the province, all of Judea went out to hear him. He was baptizing the River Jordan. Verse 7 says, this man, speaking of John, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Believe who?
Jesus.
Now skip down to verse 12. a familiar verse. And as many as received him, who's him?
Jesus.
To them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in Jesus' name. So you see the urgency here. You see the urgency. Now compare this again to Matthew chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 2, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David, the king. That's how Matthew starts. John starts, Jesus is God, the world has rejected him. Are you going to reject him, or are you going to receive him and believe? John knows that his readers know about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the books. He knows that they know about the life and teachings of Jesus. He knows that. And I know, you know about the life and teachings of Jesus, but are you going to receive it and become a child of God? Are you doing with the Bible, with the life and teachings of Jesus, what the people at this time were doing? They were just teaching it, keeping it as just like a history book. As a religious book, as something to memorize, as something to comfort them, but they were not children of God. It was nothing more than a religion for them. It was nothing more, it had gotten to be nothing more than a tradition. And John is coming in, and with this great sense of urgency, he says in verse 4, in this Jesus was life, and the life was the light of man, and anybody who receives him will have the right to become a child of God. So there is this urgency here. Listen to me. This book that we value and cherish so much, apart from Jesus, this book is nothing but empty words. Never treated otherwise. Every word here was written so that you would experience Jesus. Apart from Jesus, these words mean nothing. The words are here so that you can experience him in all his fullness, verse 16 says, and of his fullness, of Jesus' fullness, we have all received, and grace upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. Again, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The words mean nothing without him, apart from him. John knew that people had taken these books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and these three books about the life and teachings of Jesus, and had separated the life and teachings of Jesus from Jesus himself. Listen, this is something we do all the time. Let me give you an example. I wake up in the morning, I find myself overcome by fear. Man, I don't know what I was dreaming, but all I know is I'm shaking in my boots as I'm putting my boots on. You know, ever had a morning like that? Is that just me? No, maybe not. I'm afraid. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose a relationship. Someone or something is coming against me to try to hurt me or damage me. What do I do? Well, I open up the Bible promises book. I turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Yeah, that's right. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love, of a power and a sound mind. I don't have to fear because I have the power of God. I'm not crazy because I have a sound mind. That's what the Bible says. Okay, cool. Time to go to work. Anyone see a problem with that? Who was I just talking to? I was talking to myself. That's not why we have been given the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. Every word has been given to us to draw, so Jesus would draw us in. And so I am treating the Word of God. I've come to treat the Word of God when I treat the Word of God like that, like as if the Word of God were two Tylenol or something. You know, oh man, I got issues today. I need two Bible verses and a glass of water. That's what I'm treating it like. That's what we treat the Word of God. Treating the Word of God like a dead religious document. And we run off to work, and Jesus is saying, "Hey, wait a second, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm really glad about it, but I'm the Word. The Word apart from me is nothing. I'm the Word." Isaiah chapter 43, it's a chapter I quote a lot. This is very simple. In Isaiah chapter 43, there's a list of purposes of your life. If you don't know what the purpose of your life is, study Isaiah chapter 43, one of the purposes of your life. God says, this is God speaking to you, "Everyone who is called by my name, I have formed for myself." Just chew on that one for a minute. "Everyone who is called by my name, I have formed for myself." God gave us this book so we could live with him because we are his. Not so that we can live apart from him, but craziness, that's what we do. We don't want to carry the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. We don't want to carry the Word of God around like it's a rabbit's foot, like it's a lucky charm, like it's some kind of security blanket. We want to use our Bible in order to be drawn into the presence of God. We need God. We need him in order to bring the very light and life of God into our soul, into Jesus, into our circumstances, to seize the life of God. We don't want to do what the world has done, which refused to seize the life of God once it was plainly in front of them. We want to seize the life of God and embrace it for ourselves. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Verse 3 says, "In him," in Jesus, "is life, and the life is the light of men." So here you have it. You wake up, and for some reason, you can't shake the fear. You turn to 2 Timothy 1:7, and you say this: "Jesus, you are the life. You are my life. You haven't given me, Jesus, a spirit of fear. You've given me the power, love, and a sound mind. I need you today, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come in and fill me, guide me, move me, make me, form and fashion my day for me so that I'm a blessing to the people around me and not a curse, so that I will build them up, not tear them down, so that I may be a help to them and not a hindrance." the book of John. It's an urgent appeal to believe Jesus, especially that he is God. And it's an urgent appeal to understand that Jesus has called you into a living relationship, not a dead religion, and he's called you to love. That's what this book is about. In terms of understanding, it's the simplest book. I understand there's only 600 words, vocabulary words, the least of the gospel. It's very simple, yet it's so profound. And what does Jesus say throughout the gospels? He says, the kingdom of God is as such as these. Who is he talking about? Children. That simple relationship that a child has with God, we are to have. Our problem is that we complicate it. So again, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10, he, referring to Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And then again, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. A lot more in this book about the second birth, about being born again. But listen, notice how it says in verse 12, it says, you must receive Jesus. That's what it says, you must receive Jesus. So, in church and in Christianity, we develop a sort of a language, a churchy language, and it's we say, give your heart to Jesus, give your soul to Jesus, give your life to Jesus. And guess what? That's true. You do need to do that, but you first have to receive him. And this is what so many people struggle with. You're not going to be able to give your heart to Jesus unless you first receive him. Receive what? Receive the gift of his salvation. For it is by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. What is the gift? The gift is that mangled, bloody scene on the cross. That's the gift, which is so much bigger than all your sin. It's so much bigger. But you are incapable of giving your heart, giving your life, really doing anything for Jesus unless you first receive him. That's why I love that verse from Revelation, which I'm sorry, I just quote it all the time. I do. Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door of your heart and knock, says Jesus. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in and what? Dine with him. Meaning that's it's about a relationship. It says you receive him and you will become a child of God. Again, what's number two, the big difference with the book of John from the other gospels? It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship, and you are a child, and you have a heavenly father. You are a child, and you have a heavenly father. Consider this, the word father in the book of John used 127 times. You wonder why what pastors do with their time? It's they count. I actually did. I counted 127 times. Matthew, which is a considerably longer book, mentions the word Father 51 times. Luke, also longer, 43 times. Mark, 19 times. 127 times. The word Father in the book of John. He is your Father and He loves you. You were called into relationship. Relationship with Jesus and with your heavenly Father. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but again, it says, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so that's a reference to Jesus being the second person of the Trinity. Our God is a triune God. Anyone ever hear this dialogue of whether the Muslim God and the Christian God are the same? It's clearly not, and you can answer in a very unoffensive way. You say, well, no, it's not, because we believe in the triune God, and any Muslim anywhere is going to say, oh, yeah, that's true. That's a different God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God, the reference there is to the Father, and the Word is reference to the Son. The Trinity means there's one God who eternally exists as three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you have been called into a relationship with each one. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you I can explain that. If we can explain everything about God, He wouldn't be God. We're just this tiny little grain of sand, and He's God. But John brings up this point. You've been called into a relationship with Jesus, the Son of God, but also your heavenly Father who loves you, who so loved you that He sent His only Son for you. You've been called into relationship with Him. And verse 13 says, you've been born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God knows all about you. He's counted the hairs of your head. He knew you when He called you. And He's called you into relationship. So I'm going to call the worship team up at this point. If